92 years ago, John Logie Baird presented the television for the first time to a sceptical audience, with people finding it hard to believe that a box with moving images would catch on. But catch on it did, and of course, for the vast majority of homes, you will find that the focal point in the living room will be the television. While we're experiencing a golden age of television, the way we are able to watch and catch up with our favourite shows has evolved. But just how far can this evolution go? We're joined today by Ian Logie Baird, grandson of John Logie Baird, alongside actor and musician Max Beasley for more. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you. Pleasure.
So, Ian, just to start with yourself, what was it that interested you so much about the TV and that you decided to follow in your grandfather's footsteps?
It started out at school. Some of the other kids would come up and say, hey, your grandfather's in the encyclopedia. but he wasn't that well known in Canada where I grew up. But then I got into, after university actually, noticing that vintage TV sets were being disposed of in Canada. And I'd read some of the books by then. And that led me to start collecting old TVs. And I got into curating a TV museum after a while because I found out that somebody was running a museum literally an hour drive away from where I lived, which is a bit of a coincidence in Canada. It's quite a large country. And then it just became TV curator time, and that's basically how it started for me anyway.
So just tell us about the first instances of what your granddad created, the kind of first things that came onto the TV, how he demonstrated it.
Well, you know, January 26, 1926 was the date and for him when he publicly launched that his system was operational. Before that, TV had really been viewed as something akin to the perpetual motion machine or anti-gravity. luckily, he'd read a lot of H.G. Wells, and that helped him to see that this was a possible thing. And maybe he wouldn't have tried it had he not had the imagination and the ideas of Wells to sort of encourage him to try and do it. And that was the beginning. The 40 scientists who were invited were there to, you know, partially to add respectability and to show that this was a valid scientific breakthrough. And one reporter from the Times newspaper, which was the most respectable newspaper in Britain, who reported on it. And that's the first demonstration of a television image, not just in the UK, but globally.
So just to bring yourself into it, Max, obviously you've got kind of both sides of the being an actor and a fan of television yourself. Mm. How has it been for you seeing things change over the course of your career? Because obviously it's a very different world to now than it is to say in the early 90s or late 80s and things like that.
Well, the major change is choice. You know, how the public are empowered by broadcasters such as Sky with their new entertainment packages. You can pick and choose. You can, if you've got children, you can just have the kids channel. You can have the box sets channel. You can have the cinematic channel and package rather within that channel. And that's giving so much power over to the consumer and something that we wouldn't have dreamt of 25 years ago when I was watching television. You know, and so both as a writer and as an actor, there is a plethora of original broadcasting places now that are coming up. There are different nuances right across the field. And I spent the majority of the beginning of my career working mainly for the BBC, and now I work for Sky and, you know, whoever it may be. And we have such a great choice, a varied choice of dramas coming up. So you can kind of... There's a lot more, and as a viewer, there's a flexibility there now that there wasn't many years ago, and you can steer your career a little bit easier than 20 years ago because you can pick and choose if you're in a position to do so, and you're lucky enough to do so. What field you want to work with, which broadcasting company you want to work with, and it really is the golden age of television now. I do think with nearly half of the households in the UK having at least one television set in their homes, you know, and it's such a powerful medium as we know.
Well, exactly, yeah. Ian, if you just wanted to kind of walk us through some of the big moments in TV history and how it's changed over the years.
Well, the television medium was something that grew very gradually, but also in stages. So, you know, looking at the few key years, you know, maybe five or six key years of development. In 1936, everyone knows about the Alexander Palace studios, and they were having a competition between my grandfather's company, which by then had 400 employees and was actually owned by Britain's largest film company, Gaumont British, versus the EMI Marconi Consortium, which had a different system, which was all electronic with no moving parts. And that was the system that won the challenge. By 1939, we have about 20,000 TV sets in the whole country, but mostly in Greater London, because the system, of course, had a very short range. It would go about 50 miles, maybe 100 miles if you're very fortunate. And then that shuts down for World War II for the duration. TV was very much like radio with pictures. It really took ITV coming in the mid-50s to bring in some more television forms that were – some had been developed in America because it was more commercial there and there was more change going on, whereas it had been only the BBC until 1955. And then we have color in 67 and also an improvement in the image to 65 line. Mm-hmm. Then in the 70s, color licenses surpassed black and white licenses only by 1976. So it's, you know, that's not that long ago. in the 80s, in late 80s, of course, we have satellite TV coming in. Sky launches in 1989. Mm-hmm. Which was very much helped by sport. A lot of people wanted to tune into the football, mm-hmm. and this was what helped it to become profitable because they'd lost. It was very expensive to have satellite TV that early, mm-hmm. and the UK was really a pioneer in that. And the other thing that helped a lot was the launch of Sky Digital in 1998 with 140 channels. That was a major breakthrough to have that many channels available. And that was, you know, only digital technology could have done that. The mm-hmm. bandwidth just wasn't there with analog and without video compression.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the last one I'll give you is 2006, the start of HD on Sky, which was something that my dad was involved in. He was invited over for the launch, which was at 22 Frith Street, which is where the demonstration was in 1926.
Yeah. So bringing it all back to the original. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of those numbers we've just heard from Ian there, Max, 148 channels available on the first digital, and that's obviously only increased over the years. You alluded to it earlier. Do you truly think we're in another golden age of television now?
I do, but I just think, you know, in three or four years from time, the same answer will apply. Yeah. I think it's just moving forward. Uh-huh. And you know, the great thing for me as an actor is when we were doing film and we were talking about the evolution of film and now the digital era. Is, you know, you can shoot dramas of a very high standard on Arri cameras, on Red cameras, which is digital. You can blow it up to make it look film, make it look like 70mm anamorphic. Mm-hmm. And the quality of the programs that we're making now look absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
You don't have to sit on set waiting 5 minutes every time you do a take to check the gate if you're using film.
Yeah.
You simply can move on. There's not 20,000 foot of film used a week, you know. And that's one of the benefits of the digital era. There's more content and there's more, you can achieve more in the day, and consequently there are more productions being made, which is very good for us as actors. HD 2006 was great for many people, most actresses that I knew, and now male actors were not a huge fan because most floors are shown in HD. But I think it's just amazing the way things are going, and it's a good business to be in.
Ian Logie-Baird and Max Beasley, thank you very much.